Okay, there we go.
Can a question be asked, sir?
Yeah, definitely.
When one is at least one step closer to the understanding, body knowledge and the, you know, or the mind, you know, the experience of the mind or body is suffering, sir. At least, you know, here in Rami's case, like experiencing any experience feels like a suffering. But there will be some moments, and it's just plain calmness. So in that moment, all the pursuit of understanding, studies, they wouldn't exist at all. So in that sense, like, why there is desire, you know, to understand the things or do the practice with the help of the mind? Like, it's very, you know, nice to leave this body mind experience behind. Why isn't it happening once for all? Then, you know,
struggling. You still with believe the mind. You have strong belief in being a body, and that the body based experiences are true. You still have this conviction, and the conviction that you are not a body automatically will erase all of this suffering, Rami. You'll still have the use of this body. And you don't have to keep, like Maharaj says, you don't have to keep saying, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man. Or go around telling everybody, oh, you know, you don't exist and all this sort of thing. You just know. And then go about your daily activities. There can be no suffering because there's not a creation of a sufferer. See, you're still believing that there's a body-based existence in which you're feeling some peace. Which is the peace, is the relief from the concept of the body-based existence. But the truth is that there is no body-based existence. You are formless. Everything that's occurring, every experience you've ever had, all the knowledge, all the relations, are because of this misidentification with being a body. You are not a body. You are formless. You're prior to all of this. And even prior isn't exactly the correct word, because that's assuming that there's some stages or some actions. And like Maharaj says, there's no stages because you're formless. How can the formlessness that you are have stages or progress or regress or suddenly know itself and then not know itself? You are formless. And everything that's known is only through form. In your formless true state, you don't even know yourself until this, as Maharaj says, the spirit clicks with the body and you say, I, because now you have a knowing of yourself and you see around you all this world. And from the perception of knowing yourself as something, you see other some things. But you're everything and nothing. You are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. So when you say there's suffering, there's only a suffering with identification with the body, because your formlessness cannot suffer. How? The word suffering doesn't even occur, because that came along with the body. The concept of suffering came along with the body. The concept of birth came along with the body. The concept of death came along with the body. The concept of spirituality came along with the body. The concept of God, Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, and Master came along with the body. Prior to beingness, prior to knowing yourself, prior to knowing this sense of existence, there was none of these. This is all within the illusion. Everything that's known is absolutely illusion and can be easily discarded.
See, in day-to-day life, you know, things will happen. Things means things happen. This understanding of things happen comes to the picture when the surroundings are taken as reality. That also happen, you know, without any notice. So then again, this drama will start. But how can be this intactedness, you know, would be there? Like without being, like you say now, like have dance, but don't, like, you know, yeah, do the dance, take, but
don't take the touch.
But, you know, suppose, you know, now, like outside some pandemic outbreak is there, or, you know, or we read something, you know. Like, you know, and like some Maharaj or some other ex-Maharaj said something, and we try to understand with that. So that, you know, reading all those things and trying to understand is no way different than being afraid of the COVID-19 or being identified with the body. But as long as, you know, John Richards is there, as long as this session is happening, that, okay, for a few moments, this understanding would be there. Like, there is no awareness of anything. Just, I don't know, like, you know. What is that?
You're playing the role. Recently, in the past week, I've had two friends who have died and one who's very sick right now. And I'm on a chat with these folks and, you know, the people that are also knowing these people. And I'm conversing and saying, you know, prayers to this person and this person. And that's totally normal. That's the role of this body-based existence. But deeply, there's an understanding. This understanding is just, it's always here. It's formlessness. All of this is occurring within the form-based existence. And I'm formless. And yet, of course, like Maharaj says, you can play the king on the stage and then go home to a very shoddy apartment. You're not the king in your apartment. You're only the king while you have the role. So I absolutely know that even though I'm offering condolences for these friends and, you know, sending out the little emails and prayers, and it's heartfelt and sincere. But the absolute reality is there is no friends who have died. There is no one dying and no one is being born. But as Maharaj says again, you don't have to keep saying, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man. I absolutely know that this body is male, and therefore, I don't have to keep reminding myself of this fact, nor do I have to point it out to other people, hopefully. So I can easily, in the same sense, remain with my selfless self and be around other folks, you know, and the texting and the emailing and the condolences. And these were friends. I mean, these were people who I saw every day for the last probably 8 or 9 years. Not every day, but like 3 times a week at least. And I knew them, and I went to picnics with them, and I hung out with them, and now they're no longer here. And even to feel a feeling of sorrow, okay, in the moment, but you don't dwell on this because you absolutely know. See, there are some folks who might use this and be like, oh my God, who's next? Like our friends are really dying. Like this this disease is seemingly doing really terrible things, and my mind could start to transmit this fear, so to speak, because of identification with the body form, that these things, but you remain with your selfless self. It's just like you play the role. You play the role very well. You know, my son is also very depressed right now. He's sleeping all day long and such. And I contact him on Skype and I say, you know, hey, you know, how you doing? And, you know, try to get him into a routine and all this. But in the deepest sense, I know this is just the role. This body mind labeled John in the experience of the body-based existence, but it's not a torture. It's not a, you know, I'm not flowing along with the thoughts of what could happen or what if or what this or what this. Nothing is happening. Nothing's ever happened. And nothing can happen because this body-based existence is absolutely illusion. And all experience is due to this false identification with a body. Without a body, you can't experience anything. That's obvious. If you're formless, how can you experience? You cannot. So within the dream, and we talked about before, because so many people, they look at this dream and they say, how can this be the same as my nighttime dream? But it's because in the nighttime, you have the concept of waking up and going to sleep, and you can't do that until you leave this body, until this body can no longer sustain the essence. That long dream, as Maharaj says, is continuous. This dream is body-based existence. I am somebody in a world having a life. Now, as long as you have this body, as Maharaj says, you do your job, do your duties, you don't take the touch. We could say the spontaneous action in the moment and leave it. The suffering you have to think about continuously, mentate on, oh, this is happening to me, and this could happen to me, and these are happening, and all this happening, and nothing's happening. Don't identify. And these things, like I said, I'll go for walks with people and chit-chat, and you know, we talk about all sorts of things. I'm not having to continuously say, oh, it's totally illusion and it doesn't. No, because I know myself in a real sense. But I don't have to keep like thinking about that because there's nothing to think about. There will be a role that's played, spontaneous speaking in the moment, and the deep knowing that the speaker and listener are one and the same. And as long as there's identification with this body, I'll believe in the concept of separation, brought on by the illusion, I am a body.
is actually by implication. Sort of see what I'm saying? Whereas before I thought that the self was self, I could only know it by implication, but it's starting to become sort of self-evident that it just is. But I don't know what it is, but so hopefully I can, my tendency is always to try to, my mind wants to have things explained. And, you know, I do have a habit of doing that, but it keeps me in a sort of a limited approach to what's here.
I mean, yeah, whenever you try to explain anything, because see, prior to explanation, you are. Because the words that you're using to explain, you're prior to those. And all of the words you learned when you came along with the body and the body-based existence. So any words that you use are within the body-based illusion. And so then nothing's true and nothing's false, because nothing is. Again, we say illusion, and illusion is, again, a concept. We say illusion, that which does not exist. But why to speak about that which does not exist?
Then you're going to, like, I might start to try to turn that into an explanation that I know it's illusion or something. And that's just,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's just everything that you've ever known, experienced, all the concepts, everything came along with the body. But you're not a body. You're formless. Always put it back to that. If you feel like you're suffering or you feel like you're trying to figure it out, you can even talk, like Maharaj says, talk to your inner master and say, Master, I seem to want to give this to mind, but I know you said I provide the power to this mind. So why to provide the power to something that will cause confusion when there's no confusion? Because I'm prior to this mind that could cause the confusion using my power.
And then I come up with these words, and the words seem to have their own existence.
Yeah, well, this is Nisargadatta Maharaj says, you be very careful with words and concepts, because you build a world with your words, and then you live in it.
Yeah.
It's not good.
You're affected. You're deeply affected by it.
Yeah, because you start to say, Brahman. And then you say, okay, is Brahman, is that the formless presence? Or is Brahman the one that feels the formless presence? Well, but presence and Brahman came along with the body, which you were not. So discard all of that, remain with your selfless self.
And it's sort of like some kind of a miraculous presence. I don't know. It's like, it's unexplainable.
That presence is your own self, which you can only know through the body form because of the concept of duality. You're able to know yourself through the body form. When you are within your own self prior to body, you cannot know yourself, as there's nothing to sort of sift through. It's like when the gold prospectors used to go and they would dip their little plates into the river mud and sift through for the gold. That's basically, this body is nothing but a plate to sift through for the gold that you are. A golden opportunity, as Maharaj says, that you are not body, and yet using this body, you can know yourself in a real sense. Without the body-based illusion of existence, you cannot know yourself, because there's nothing except yourself, and there is no plate to sift through and find the gold. And now, once you know yourself, this body has, it's going to go through this thing called a life within the body-based existence. Just like when you go to sleep tonight, your dream will begin spontaneously and will end spontaneously. I doubt if any of us have ever gone to sleep at night and said, okay, now I'm going to be dreaming. And then had a nice conclusion to our dream and said, okay, now I'm going to be waking up. The dream is finished. The story is told. No, because this body-based existence is a long dream. And as long as the body's there, the existence came spontaneously, will leave spontaneously. And everything that happened in between was just the dream, the long dream. I am somebody. I am somebody else. I am a body, which you are not, were not, and never could be. You're formless.
Sir, but me, now your words come in the dream, huh? Like, you know, there will be a sense one or two times, whatever is appearing here is, it is not. That sense will be there sometime, not all the dreams. Like, if, yeah.
But you don't have a choice as to, like, when you go to sleep tonight, you can't say, okay, I'm going to dream about being in the sandy beach and no. I'm going to have a nice romance for a little bit of time on this sandy beach and eat at a nice beach cafe and meet this nice lady. We're going to talk for a while. And then as we're walking in the sun, as it's setting, I'll wake up and that'll be the end of my dream. The whole story is finished. You can't do this. So there is no like planning the end of the dream.
You can't control your life, all that.
Exactly. And
like
yet,
I think so.
As you have this body, you go about and do the next thing that's in front of you, spontaneous action in the moment, leaving all the results and just see what the next scene is. And don't take the touch.
It's not whatever happens, happen once, basically.
Exactly, because you can't do anything about what happens anyway. It's only this mental concept of, I can somehow do this. You know, even you can look at those folks who save all their retirement money. They're so frugal, and they say to themselves, because when I get older, I want to make sure that I have a good retirement fund. But then, like, Enron happens, or something happens in the market, and they're wiped out completely. And yet, you would ask them, and they would say, I am building a secure life. And no, it's better to say, I'm doing what I can in the moment, and I leave the results. And if something happens good, okay. Something happens not so good, okay. In reality, I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. So the formlessness inside this bubble of illusion, these things appear to be happening, but they're not actually happening. And yes, if you don't pay your car note within the dream of this illusion, your car will get repossessed. Yes? So you don't just say, like Maharaj says, it's not like a carte blanche freedom to just go do whatever you want to do. Within the dream, you do your job, you do your duties, you take care of your family. You don't be like saying, I think Maharaj makes fun all the time about, they say, okay, I'm going to leave my family and go to the Himalayas and go deep into spirituality, and I'm not going to have a job. I'm going to go begging, and I'm going to be a very spiritual man. And Nisargadatta Maharaj blasts that away right away, and Ramakant Maharaj blasts that away. No, the true spirituality is living just as you did before, but yet inwardly knowing, I am not body. All of this is illusion. There's no ups and downs within me. These actions and reactions may be happening, but nothing's actually happening. There's no body-based impression that I am somebody and I'm succeeding or I'm failing or this is happening or that's happening. Spontaneous action.
When you look at the news, it's like what came to my mind is the, I think Maharaj spoke about when you throw some water down by some ants, they all start running. And this whole pandemic is like, it's got the entire world like the ants, everybody's just running. And You know, the body identification, that it's just really, you know, it's, that is the basic problem. You know, I mean, that's the basic, to me, it's like the basic attachment, the attachment to the body. And it's not so much for, you know, for exorbitant things, it's just basically existence, you might say. So everyone, you know, like it's, that attachment is very, very strong. And, you know, like sometimes when I look at like a Ranjit satsang or something like that, he'll always, he brings it up a lot, you know, he talks about, you know, take care of your body, but if your body goes, you know, don't worry about that because you're not the body, you know. He says, this is a dead body at the moment. This is a dead body at the moment. Yeah. And I think it's good to put that, square that away first to get that completely resolved, just get rid of it. And then, you know, he'll do this with his hand. He'll do, it's like this, this side or that side. It's that easy, one side or the other. You're either you're the, you know, the attributeless, formless Parabrahm, where you are the body, mind, ignorance and knowledge. In other words, you're in ignorance, one or the other.
Well, and the way you unlock that is presence. You spend some time with yourself through meditation, remaining with yourself. You invite the attention of the invisible listener. There's a sense of presence felt through the body. And you begin to remain there. Worship that presence as your own selfless self. Master said, your spontaneous presence has projected the whole world. There's nothing except presence. Now you've felt this or known this presence, you remain there. This will teach you everything you need to know, because as long as you don't go to the world and you go there, you keep keeping attention, be with your selfless self, mind stops because there's no more things to think about because you're remaining with your selfless self, and then that's it. And it's not even, you are just, you're just no. And that should happen every single one of us. If we've even felt the presence once, that's yourself. Everything that's not that ain't you.
I feel that most of the time, you know, like a presence, you know, like I really feel pretty good. Every now and then, it's like the other day I was running down the street, just jogging, trying to get some exercise. And out of nowhere, this dog comes out and starts chasing me, trying to bite me. And it's like the mind will come at you like that. Out of, you know, like you can be really in the place of, you know, like, you know, real inner peace, or you might say whatever. And all of a sudden, that mind will just come out at you, just like a wild dog, you know, just really... And again, you know, it's like it'll try to bite you. And I know that Maharaj, you'd always say that, you know, the ego is like biting you from behind, you know, snipping at you. So, you know, it's just, but it's just getting, you know, like it's just recognizing that for what it is. And it's just dealing with it as each time it comes up, basically. And, you know, you sometimes I'll do the mantra. Sometimes I'll reflect on what the teaching is. Sometimes I'll try to... speak to the master, or speak to the master within me. You know, and since, you know, basically it's just dealing with it. You know, that, you know, it's like, that's the big stick you got to carry when you go jogging.
Well, and be very grateful.
Yeah.
You're getting closer and closer to yourself, the self. Know that these thoughts are not there to bite you. They're there to see if there's anything left to bite.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's basically because there's no illusion is necessary, isn't it? I mean, like to realize what you are. If there was no illusion, I mean, you know, there would be no possibilities.
And you're clearing away this body-based illusion slowly, silently, and permanently. Whenever a thought comes and it's crying for attention and you allow it to pass, but you notice it, and then you can kind of laugh to yourself, aha, this tricky mind, he's trying to snatch me, and I remain with my selfless self. Because if there's something there, and see, those are the things that the deeper it gets into the identification, the more it'll appear like something that needs attention. And a lot of times too, it might be a loved one who gets sick or who's not feeling well. And you're bringing up your mind for that because, as Maharaj says, this ego, mind, intellect tries to kind of feel you out and look. Perhaps you're no longer having attention about your thoughts about yourself. You know you're formless. And yet these thoughts will then come in and try to come from the backside about my sister or my brother who's not feeling well or not doing well. Oh, I hope they're doing well. And that instead should just be, oh, another thought's coming in. But every thought about the form-based illusion can be brushed aside. And the more that it seems like it's something, and you might even feel your blood pressure rise a little bit with the thought, those are the thoughts that are testing your reality. Those are the thoughts where you're remaining with your selfless self and allowing those thoughts to go. And then witnessing the fact that you didn't get caught up in this mechanism of thinking. And then for my own self, when those things would happen, I would then make sure I go and bow to the master. The images of the master that I have in the house, if I was out jogging or walking and something like this happened and I saw it for what it was, I'd thank you, master. Thank you. You know, that was something that could have been something, and it was nothing. Thank you, master. Thank you.
The phrase is very important. That
yes.
Sometimes instead of doing the mantra, you just say the word praise or whatever. You know,
because you don't want to take the egoistic sense of doership of having gone through it yourself. You know, in other words, you don't want to say, oh, yes, I'm doing so well. I didn't go with this thought. No, instead, you come home and you say, thank you, master. Thank you. I remained at your feet. The teachings, they came to me spontaneously and erased in the moment this concept that this thought was important. Jai Sadhguru.
You know, there's no way in the world, I mean, like, I know that there's no way in the world I could do this without the master. I mean, it's completely in the master's hands. I really feel that. You do need that master. Sometimes, you know, like, there was a passage from Amrit Laya 3 about Krishna was the chariot driver and he drove Arjuna into the circle, you know, in the battle formation. It's easy to penetrate the circle, but, you know, it's just about impossible to get out, because once you get in there, then the enemy has you trapped inside. So only, you know, it's like that dealing with the, you know, just this whole bowl of illusion, you know, like, you know, it's, you need to have that chariot driver, that master that are leading you, you know, like praising the master, knowing that you are in the master's hands and he's leading the chariot. And it'll take you, you know, you can run through the circle because that's where you live. I mean, basically, we're in this world, we've got to deal with the issues that we're dealing with, day in and day out. You know, we're playing a part, in other words. But not to get stuck in there, you know, you've got to have that that guidance from the master. You know, it's just absolutely, totally essential.
Well, Ramakant Maharaj says in the book Ultimate Truth, had he not met Nisargadatta Maharaj, he would still be going to temples, looking for peace, looking for happiness, bowing to different gods and goddesses, doing countless meditation of looking at the breath and all these sort of things, egoistic meditation. And had it not been for Nisargadatta Maharaj, he would still be, just like he says, wandering and on this spiritual search. But the master is the presence that you are in the form of Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, who tells the form of Ramakant Maharaj, you are not body. absolutely know this. I know this, trust that I know this, and now find this for yourself. And Sri Ramakant Maharaj, as he said, he listened to Nisargadatta Maharaj's talks for quite a while and didn't really grasp any of it. But the most important thing, because Nisargadatta Maharaj used to say, listen to me, listen to me. And Sri Ramakant Maharaj says, this is addressed to the invisible listener who is recording everything. And when the time is right, this recording will play back. And this recording plays back in moments like you just mentioned of jogging, and the mind starts to bother, and no, I've heard that I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. And my master has told me he absolutely knows himself in a real sense. I trust this. I have complete faith and trust in the master. And now I know the master is this inner master and outer master is the same. The only reason there's an outer master is because I believe myself as a body form, and therefore I need an outer body form to explain to me that I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing is there. Everything that appears is illusion. And I think that's beautiful. You know, I watched Sri Ramakant Maharaj at the ashram come in complete reverence, bow and put his head on the feet. You know, they have the cast of Nisargadatta Maharaj's feet in the ashram. Put his head on the feet of the master, bow, and the devotion was shown. It didn't have to be spoken about of, you know, do this, do this. The master is showing you, you see, these are the things I do in my everyday life. I do the bhajans 3 times a day, and I come in and I bow to the masters because I owe the masters everything. And the masters are the spontaneous presence on which this entire world has appeared. Many people on WhatsApp said that Maharaj showed how to leave the body most beautifully. I wasn't there in that time, so I didn't see. I had texted a few folks on WhatsApp, and they actually placed like cinnamon sticks and such and the different various things, and also a couple of logs on the pyre. I had some ashram devotees of Sri Ramakant Maharaj and the family. They put some logs on the pyre. And they were saying, you know, it was a beautiful finish because there's no death. And the master knows there's no death without any doubt whatsoever, not even a speck of doubt. The water comes and that ant does not run. Been in this chair, this body on my butt has been in this chair all day at work, and now here in the, so I have to scoot a little bit.
Yeah, even though understanding is there, but body will have its own problem.
Oh yeah, the butt gets sore even if you're formless. The other thing that I'll say too about being with Sri Ramakant Maharaj, he was not acting spiritual. You know what I'm saying? He just was. He was naturally free in his being. And it wasn't like, you know, acting spiritual. He was just very natural in everything. Spontaneous action. And it was very beautiful to see, like eating cookies and drinking the tea and everything and walking. And when we were out, he was never like, I am a master, or, you know, oh, bow to me, or why are, even when people bow to him, he's just in spontaneous action. Okay. You know, it's good. But there's no egoistic sense. You could see there's absolutely nothing there. There is a body form being used by presence that absolutely knows that it's presence using that body form. And that there is no Sri Ramakant Maharaj as an idol or something like this. It wasn't like that. And that I think is so important, because in the junior duties, you know, you don't have to try and be spiritual. You don't have to try and be anything. As a matter of fact, if there's an idea or a concept of trying to be something, then you're creating a body based, I am somebody else trying to do something to appear as if I'm not a body. It's not needed. You know yourself in a real sense, that spontaneous conviction. Oh, so that I am that presence. Okay. That's it. Now I can go out and I can be among my friends. I can be very casual. I can laugh at jokes. I can move around and do all these sort of things, but inwardly, absolutely knowing I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. But as Maharaj says, I don't have to keep telling myself that. And nor do I need to tell other people. Like if I see somebody, quote, doing something and, oh, that's not very spiritual or whatever. No, because it's all the one presence animating all these dead bodies, all these forms. Every form is a lump of goo, a conglomeration of the five elements that the formless presence is moving around as a one-man show. And that is only within the body-based existence, because the reality is none of that even is. There is only presence without a knower, without knowing, and without any knowledge of anything.
Das Bode expresses that so beautifully in chapter 6, in the sub-chapters that are in chapter 6. He talks about the attainment of Brahman and so forth. And this really, reading that really is beautiful, just really incredible. Totally other.
So should we stop there?
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.